FRC.
It's 7 o'clock, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. Is this the rest of Aboriginal Voices, Doug?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we're doing fine. Having fun.
I've placed my headset on backwards.
Oh. Yeah. How long have you been doing radio? This is the end of our 30th year.
My gosh.
Every week years. you're sitting with your
just about on. Every week. Yeah. Was that?
No, every week you sit with your earphones on.
I do.
Yeah. But never like this.
Yeah.
You are backward to the board.
I am.
That's
I am backward
why
to the
put
board.
Them on wrong.
Also, I'm standing up. It was right. 7 o'clock.
It is, yeah.
Did I not say 7 o'clock?
You did. It's perfect, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking right at the clock.
And we're actually doing something slightly different. We're looking at each other from a distance, but still we're looking at each other rather than, you know, side by side or through glass or something like that. Yeah.
I see those professional guys every once in a while. They got a commercial. Listen to us.
Yeah.
Like on those other stations, not Queens. Mm-hmm. And they're standing up. And I thought, well, I wonder what that's like.
Oh, it helps you breathe.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Keeps your feet moving.
Yeah. Anyways, they're standing up.
Now,
I don't want to name them.
Okay.
But.
No, we won't go there. You don't have
I'm going to name them. You want me to name them?
Sure.
It's a Kingston station.
Oh, is it? A Kingston station? Does ads?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's there anymore, but Sideshow, the Sideshow guy.
Okay.
Morning.
Well,
good job on you guys.
We don't know what's happening to radio these days.
No.
I'm glad you brought that up because the fact that radio, even right across the country, is changing. I think there was a radio station in New York City that on Friday did their last radio broadcast.
In New York City?
New York City. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember the actual call numbers. Anyway, but it,
NBC.
But it does have an affiliate. It's either ABC or NBC
CBS,
one
true.
Of those. I think
yeah.
it was a CBS one. They've been going since 1936.
Oh, yeah?
And they had to stop because the local radio news is no longer being, you know, I guess respected or used. But I'm hearing in my community, I ask people about, you know, are you regretting the fact that our little local newspapers are downsized and three or four of them are right out of existence?
Well, yeah, that's what ended up happening. It happened here, right? I'm going to speak from TV side.
Okay.
But we don't necessarily have the CKWS anymore.
Local news? No.
Local news is
very
no
little
longer a thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because yesterday when I was doing a walk up to the mailbox and back, one of the neighbors was going for a walk as well. He stopped to talk and he was telling me that he's upset and concerned because his organization that does some really good things in Kingston for people now does not have an avenue to go on television to do segments several times a year about the work they're doing and let people know that they can be supportive of everything that his organization is doing. And that's because CKWS, the television station, the people are all gone. They don't even know, you know, he doesn't even know who to call and talk to get someone to come but he did talk to a person in Toronto, and the problem is that Toronto they're struggling to do the same thing to try and get local news. Mm-hmm. But the problem for the Toronto station is they only have half an hour, or they have an hour, like 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock at night, that sort of hour, and they have features that have to be put on from the
broadcasting. Yeah.
But to get the small ones, they not only have Kingston and then Brockville and Napanee and Deseronto and, and Six Nations or down that way, sort of Brantford and Six Nations. And, you know, they're good stretches out because they have to get those segments in as well. So really, instead of having local news that might be, you know, 35, 40 minutes of your hour programming, it's now down to maybe you get two a week, two 5-6 minute segments a week. Anyway, so radio is doing the same thing, and we're hearing about some of the radio, iHeartRadio. We don't know what's happening to them.
Yeah, I heard there was their, there's a quite a huge layoff.
Oh, was there? Oh, okay. But it also, I mean, a lot of radio stations. Remember Juice in Belleville many years ago? Oh, my goodness. It was in the 1990s.
CJOJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still there,
right.
Kind
but
of.
They came in with
their 95.5.
Yeah, but they came in with a model that you and I kind of sat looking at each other at the time thinking, what? You can be at home and run a radio station?
Well, they had office. They had a space.
But, yeah, but they didn't have to have
there's
live
less of that going
there.
On now, yeah.
Right. We could do that here.
Well,
unfortunately, you
Let's
and I have to show up
way.
Every week. No, that's fine. I love it. It's good fun. But, you know, it's going to be a challenge. I know that the news team here at CFRC have been working really hard all last year and, in fact, won an award.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah. For
a Peabody?
Their community broadcasting organization that they submitted and they won Canada-wide.
Very
The team here won. So very congratulations to them. And
who better, right? And who better?
Oh, yes.
No one better. Queens Radio.
Yeah. And the news department here. But
And the news department.
But now I know that Laura Tucker's come back to do arts and entertainment. I don't know if she's going to do it once a week or twice a week. Last year, she did several segments on Indigenous installations happening here around Queens campus. So, yeah, we certainly welcome everybody who's supporting the kinds of things that we're trying to do here at Aboriginal Voices as well. Hey, what else is up?
I don't know, Doug. You're on that side. You're on the control center side.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. No, I'm just saying I can get...
You have the bridge.
I can get music for you. That's not a problem. The question really is going to be other things anything else you wanted to talk about? Because it's almost 10 after 7.
I know.
My goodness.
I can look at the clock.
A little bit later, you know, about 20 after 7, so that's not that
I do
away.
Have news, though.
Oh.
There's a little bit of news.
Okay.
I finished the book. I finally finished it.
And what's the name of the book?
I didn't read the acknowledgments.
Oh.
I didn't figure that was needed. No.
Yes.
Well, then I haven't read the book. I haven't finished it yet. It was arduous.
No.
It was an arduous journey to finish this book.
You should say, let's celebrate your finishing the
book. Like we'll celebrate it and everything. I did. I was like, oh, good. Finally, I'm done. And I started a new one. It may not last long. Oh, okay. I've been getting through it, and it's kind of boring. It's written like a professor guy would write a paper for to get a PhD or something like that.
Oh, okay,
and so boring. Like throw in some something interesting, and it hasn't come along yet. I hope it's just like putting all the characters together,
yeah,
and then make them sing in a little while. But? Well, I haven't even finished the first chapter yet, but it's not looking good, Doug.
You're going to tell me the name of this book so I can go and read it, or?
I don't think you want to. Oh,
okay.
It was a book that was popular maybe in the early 2000s, and it was called I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, no.
Something yada yada Soulcraft. It's out in the car.
Oh, that's
I don't want to go and get it.
No.
I'll show you later.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. All right, so our book club will go right into the first
possibly
2 weeks of September.
I think I might have to find a different book.
Oh, okay. I've got one I want you to
do
read.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yes.
It's not one of those Hayden Taylor ones, is it?
No.
Who is it?
Rocky Landon, a local author. No, it's really good. Yes, you're gonna love it. It's called A Native American Thought of That.
Oh,
it has a lot of pictures.
It's a picture book, though. A
lot of pictures. Yeah, some text, but it's really fascinating.
Maybe easier to get through that then.
Oh, you know what?
Pictures.
It may not. Because we'll end up talking about each segment, you know.
Yeah,
so I'll bring that to you.
All right.
And we'll do that next week and the week after.
Yeah.
Unless you want me to read your book. No? Okay. All right. So I was saying that around 20 after 7 or so, we're going to have a special guest here.
Oh, yeah?
Brody Smith.
Oh.
Yes. And he's
going to...
Because... You started this.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, back in July, you know, when we did our recipes and did our summer cooking, and you brought in the whole thing around using a microscope or a magnifying glass or digital camera work, and we did a whole segment on that. Rachel was here.
Yeah, I think we could blame Rachel for that.
No.
No,
it's all your fault.
I'm pretty sure it's Rachel's fault.
I have friends.
I hope she's listening.
Who now have the same digital microscope
who?
As you.
How many?
I should
be getting like
they're sending me pictures now saying, "What do you think this is?"
I should
is?
Be getting residuals or something like that.
Yeah. Today I got what may be a meteorite.
Oh, yeah.
The microscopic level.
So were you listening to the when I came in today, there was some people on this station talking about satellites.
Yes.
And how it's screwing up astronomy.
Yes, it is.
All those satellites up there.
Well.
And it is something you think, well, geez, it's space, right?
Yeah.
There's like all kinds of room up there. But no, apparently not.
It's like when you look through your lens of your camera.
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
And something's in front of you, it's going to be fuzzy or the camera's going to go around it.
Yeah.
And then what's beyond it, which is the Earth level stuff, distance away, it's out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happens when you do the astronomy part, because if they have their telescopes off the Earth aiming out, and looking at a section of the sky,
yes,
way, way far away, farther away than I can even imagine.
Oh, like she was thrown out.
Some guy named Elon Musk puts these.
But not just him. Not just him.
How many did they say he
had? Putting the shade on him.
No, not so.
Throwing the hate on Elon. Elon could send us some money.
Well, there you go. He could, keep the radio station going.
Please.
Yeah. He could even help broadcast.
Oh, yeah, there. Maybe get a little something on the side there. It's not just Elon. They did mention several companies that will be doing this.
Yeah, they're low Earth satellites.
Yeah.
They interfere with the vision of through the telescopes.
Yeah, okay. She said that,
in
the dark sky areas, she said you don't necessarily see them. In regular cityscapes, but you will see it in a dark sky.
Come to my place and a night like the other two nights ago before the moon got bright.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I watched for the International Space Station flying by, yeah, which is actually higher than these little orbital mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. But I have a series of them I can pick out. They're in the same spot every night. I can see them.
Yeah. Know,
and they're there. And they kind of, they move because the Earth's moving. They yeah. appear to be moving, but they're not. They're stationary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the geosynchronous orbit.
Yeah. No, I like them because they give me my GPS coordinates. Like the word. But
like beyond what's happening up there, all science-y and everything, yeah, the word is pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, being pretty cool, Brody Smith.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Brody. Is he gone now?
No.
Not ready yet?
A little bit. Not too long. We're finished talking, and we're going to go to a piece of music.
All right.
I hope. And, one of your favorite, Midnight Shine.
Oh, nice.
You all set?
Yeah.
Straight and narrow, broken arrows, walking down the sweet grass road.
That is Walk With Me from Adrian Sutherland, who received a Juno nomination earlier this year after releasing his debut solo album. And this song actually moved an entire classroom, because you heard from an elementary school teacher in Ontario who reached out after his students were inspired by this song.
One day as I was driving into work, I heard this song, Walk With Me by Adrian Sutherland, and it just struck me. It was a beautiful song, and shared it with some of the students to see what they thought about the song and what it meant to them. And we looked at the lyrics and we started learning about that, and we thought maybe we should reach out to Adrian Sutherland, the artist, and his management team. And so we did that, and we asked for permission to make a little video for his song. And they wrote back to us and said, we love the idea. Would it be okay if we went a little bit bigger? And they asked if we might be interested in participating with them to make the official video for the song. So we said yes right away, and since then, for the next few months, that's what we've been working on now. The project for us has been about creating awareness. We are creating awareness for Canada's history, awareness about the residential school system and Indigenous people, and also it's a journey towards reconciliation and a journey towards community.
When we first heard about it, we were excited and wanted to support them in every way possible to make that happen. So I was just about in tears when I first saw that video, and it's just really powerful and heart-touching video that they put together. For me, it's always been about the music. It's always been about healing spirits, or trying to create awareness and understanding about some of the issues we face as Indigenous people in this country.
I am so excited to be here with all of you, and I want to thank you for coming to this assembly. Because of your passion, it led to almost a year-long project where we were working on a video called Walk With Me. Who remembers, just with your hands, that video, Walk With Me? So I want to extend to you a huge thank you for your perseverance in making this project come together. I also want to tell you how very proud I am of you, of each one of you. So please help me welcome the person who wrote and sang that song, Indigenous singer and songwriter, Adrian Sutherland.
First of all, I just want to say hi. And I'm really excited to be here today. I wanted to come sooner, but I couldn't. But this is the first chance for me to be able to come and visit and just say hello. And thank you again for that wonderful project that you guys brought to life. It absolutely, it touched my heart, and it continues to touch my heart, and it's done the same thing for so many others that I know.
Walk with me. If I follow your steps, will I see? Skin,
if you have any, what are your fears?
I'll use one example. Navigating some of the rivers at home are pretty scary. I had trouble just shooting big rapids on my own. It was kind of a fear, you know? And I think for me, it's like fear can sometimes control us, and it's important for us to see what we're capable of doing, you know? And sometimes we have to find ways to overcome those fears. Because if we don't, we don't learn what we're capable of doing, and we don't build courage. I have fear of me being rejected too, you know, because of some of the traumas I've been through as a kid. You know, and I went to Indian Day School. I suffered, you know, abuse there, and so I went through a lot of rejection. So I think that's where that comes from. So I have that fear of being rejected, or my music being rejected, or being rejected as an artist or something. So. For me, I think I know like a lot of the hope lies within our young people and our youth, and to be coming from a different perspective and maybe a different culture. And I know I've been trying to speak about it, sing about it, write about it for so long, but then to have a group of non-Indigenous kids, you know, get behind it, it's like, whoa, that's something else.
You gotta give it all you got. love listening to podcasts and you've always thought of starting your own, CFRC can make that happen for you. Try podcasting with us today at CFRC 101.9 FM. Visit podcast.cfrc.ca for more information, and you can find the application form and get started.
Hey, I'm Julian Taylor, and I'm excited that my radio show, The Jukebox, can now be heard on CFRC 101.9 FM out of Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. The show is all-inclusive. I only play music that I love and think that you'll love, too. So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
We would do anything for our kids. But what parent wouldn't? I'm just glad they're still so young, so we can speak in code in front of them. But they must wonder why we're always camping.
Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy. A watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
For 142 years, the Queen's Gaels have called Kingston home. The tricolor has become as synonymous with the city as the limestone upon which it was built. But that love, admiration, and respect comes with a powerful commitment. A pledge to protect this house. On Saturday, August 31st, the Queen's Gaels will host the McMaster Marauders for their home opener at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Kickoff is scheduled for 6 p.m. and CFRC's coverage will begin at 5:45.
Aboriginal Voices all summer long has been doing a project with special guests coming in and chatting with us here at Aboriginal Voices on CFRC. And this last week and the week before, Brody and his mom were guests, and they were talking about outdoors, looking at things with microscopes and magnifiers and that sort of thing. And we had a digital microscope that got this started because we were playing with it. But when I interviewed both Lindsay and Brody, they both mentioned something that was very important, and that is, what are for snacks? What treats do we have? What recipes do we have for making outdoor foods that we could take with us, or indoor foods for that matter? And so today, our special guest is Brody Smith, and he is going to talk about some recipe that I don't even know what it is, Brody. You're going to have to tell us what you've got ready for us and how to make it. Hi, Brody.
It's going to be called Friendship Bites. And what you need is some dry oats, which represents kindness, and peanut butter, or substitute if you're allergic to peanut butter or peanuts, which represents honesty, and honey represents sharing. And M&M's represents smiles, and chocolate chips is laughter. So that's why they're called friendship bites, because that's all the things that are in a friendship.
Wow, that's pretty good. So now, how do I make one of these friendship bites?
You'll need 1 cup of dry oats and 1/4 cup of peanut butter, 1/4 cup, I meant, and then 1/4 cup honey, and then 1/4 cup of M&Ms, and then 1/4 cup of chocolate chips.
Oh, that's excellent, because they're all quarter cups that you have.
Except for the oats.
Yeah, and the oats will be there to mix with everything else, right?
Yeah.
It's the peanut butter that's going to hold it together, the honey that's going to make it sweet. Mm-hmm. And, what do you do with it then when you put it all together? Do you put it in a bowl and then just mix it, or do you push it down? Or
you put it in a bowl and mix it up.
Mm-hmm. So you use your spoon to go ahead and mix it up. Show me how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Put the oats in. Quarter cup. We did the oats 4 times because we have 1/4 cup. Next is the peanut butter.
Ooh, question for you about peanut butter. Peanut butter with nuts or peanut butter just smooth?
Just smooth.
Oh, okay. Butter. Good. Isn't it sticky?
A bit.
So while you're stirring that, tell me a little bit about what's happening as you're mixing it together.
It's like all the oats are sticking to the peanut butter, and then it's turning into like a ball when I'm mixing it around.
Ooh, I see you got the honey ready. You've got a great assistant there with you, right?
Uh-huh. Then we put the honey in.
Oh, that sounds good.
Then we mix it up.
Now, is it hard to mix it now with the peanut butter like a big ball and you're putting the honey in? Or is it?
Yeah, it got thicker once we put the honey in.
You're working very hard. This is good to see. I hope our listeners are listening carefully to your description, because they're going to want to try this, I think.
Probably, because it tastes really good.
Mm. What else goes in now?
The M&Ms.
Oh.
Which?
Does it matter? Does it matter what color?
Nope, you can put in any color. And instead of doing peanut butter, maybe you could do peanut M&Ms instead and kind of mix it in.
And the next, what's next going in there now?
Chocolate chips.
Okay, so that's 1/4 cup chocolate chips, 1/4 cup of M&Ms, 1/4 cup of honey, 1/4 cup of peanut butter, and 4/4 of oats.
Yep. Then you stir it all up.
This is where muscles come in, right? So while you're stirring it, what do you put it into? Because we're not going to take it in the bowl if we're going to take this out on a hike, right?
We're gonna turn all of them into like a ball shape, and then we're gonna put them on a pan like this,
and then you can put them in a Tupperware to take on the road with you or in a baggie.
So how long will it take to have it ready once you make it into these little they're golf ball size or ping pong ball size?
Like golf ball size.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then once you've got the ingredients mixed up, then you just make them into balls and they're ready to go. There's no cooking required.
Oh, they're ready to go. Okay. And when you finish making them, turning them into the size you want and put on the tray, do you take your hands and lick them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, start the washing process by eating what's there, right?
Yeah. So what I do when I make them.
Yes, you just... Do you taste test as you go, or do you? Okay. I haven't seen you do that yet, so I don't know if it's good or bad or not. But yeah. Okay.
And
it's good.
Good.
Mashed up the chocolate. Then we make them into a ball shape.
Okay.
Chocolate chips.
This is sticky.
A little bit.
And you just put it on a piece of wax paper on your tray or?
Just a tray.
Just the tray. Yeah. Do you have to put it into the refrigerator to make them solid, or do you just leave them out and wait?
Just leave them out for a bit, and then they get less sticky. So then you can
put them in the fridge too.
Yeah, though. You can put them in the fridge to harden them a bit more, but we just like to leave them out. And we watch them just like every half an hour to see if they're getting harder.
Oh, okay. Now you can leave them as a ball, or do you sometimes squish them down to make them like a hockey puck? Have you?
We leave them as a ball shape.
Oh, okay. And then when you're going to take it out, they say you're going to go out in your backyard and sit under a tree in this heat in August, then would you take it in a baggie or a Tupperware container? Which would be easiest?
Probably a Tupperware container, because it can fit in more places. And if you have the Ziploc bag, then it would probably get smushed if you're bringing like a water bottle, or if you are having a picnic and you bring like a big water bottle, and a lot of people are coming. So we just put them in a Tupperware.
Excellent. How many do you think it might make? Well, it doesn't matter how many it makes, right? As long as you have enough for everybody who's going to be there. Right? And what are they called again?
Friendship Bites.
Okay. So you get to share them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's the best part about them.
Yeah, I bet. I'm just sitting here thinking, peanut butter and honey together. Wow.
Yeah, they mix pretty good together.
Were the oats really big oats, you know, like what they call rolled oats, or were they small?
Just tiny oats.
Okay. Well, they make a lot.
Yeah, one tiny bowl can make a lot of them because they're just bite size.
Mm-hmm. That means you have a lot of friends.
Yeah. It makes about 20.
Ooh, that's a good number.
Small.
Yeah.
Ones.
Why don't you tell Doug what's in the backyard right now?
A tent.
Oh.
We're probably going to eat them in the tent in the middle of the night.
Oh, so you have a camping trip ready to go, do you?
Yeah. I'm going to need another tray, though.
Oh, okay. So it made that many. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So when you make them, you on the tray, you spread them out so there's space between each one? Is that what it is? Okay. Good.
They're kind of like cookies, but you don't cook them in the oven.
Right. Yeah.
You can actually put them.
So these are friendship bites, and you used I'll go over the recipe just quickly, not the ingredients. So you did 1 cup of oats, and then all the rest are going to be quarter cup. So quarter cup of peanut butter you put in first, then a quarter cup of honey, and then a quarter of cup of
M&Ms,
and then a quarter of cup of
chocolate chips.
And then just keep stirring and then mix it up and put it on a tray. That sounds great. I can't wait to share them with me. Mm-hmm. Well, Brody, one last question for you before we go off to watch it settle. And that is, what's something that you could do when you get your friends together before they eat those? What would you want to do while you're waiting for your friends to all sit down?
Probably tell them how to make them so then they can make them too.
Okay. So you would tell them the first part about the oats and what each one means. Good. Mm-hmm. I like that. Well, Brody, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this with me. And I see you're about ready to go wash your hands, but, you know, there's the finger method, right? One finger at a time. Yeah, that's it. We'll let you go do that. We won't let the listeners hear the smacking lips on the on the treat. Your friendship bites look really good, Brody. Thank you very much for being part of Aboriginal Voices today. Have a good time. Enjoy your tent work tonight. Eating some, reading, telling stories. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
The
Fun with recipes this summer, and Lindsay Redekop has been instigator in this session because she mentioned good recipes, and we were all hungry the last time we chatted, Lindsay. And so I think that's what it was. And both of your boys mentioned food at the end of their interviews. So this week we're doing a recipe. We've heard from Brody, sounds great, and Lindsay Redekop, welcome to Aboriginal Voices in the summer.
Thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure to have you around. Now, what are you making today?
So we're going to talk about making something with the kids that they can help with, and that is mini pizzas.
Mini pizzas, about the size of my hand?
Yeah, so you're going to be using English muffins.
Okay.
So you'll need a package of those. And then each English muffin can be split into two mini pizzas.
Oh, right, because there's a top and a bottom. Okay. Now, this is one you could do with pretty well any age student or child.
Yeah, that's right. My boys are 9 and 6, but I've also done this recipe with my kindergarten students, which they range in age from 3 to 6.
Okay, good. So we're ready to begin. You've got a recipe. What kinds of things do I have to get together to? Is this going to be like, do I have to mix up in anything beforehand or just it's all ready to go?
It doesn't take a whole lot. You just need the ingredients from your grocery store. So you'll need a package of English muffins. And then we like to buy, there's like a pizza sauce in a plastic bottle that you can use. And so then you're going to squeeze that out onto your English muffins. You're going to arrange them on a cookie sheet. Then the kids like to put on their own sauce. So you'll need like a spoon or something that they can spread it around with, or a knife, a butter knife. And then they like to do their own cheese as well. So you might like to use mozzarella cheese. We like to do a blend that's like mozzarella and cheddar. And so then the boys will sprinkle that on and make sure it's shredded for easy melting. And then
What they like to do is make little happy faces with the pepperoni. So they'll take two pepperonis to make eyes, and then they'll actually bite one of the pepperonis in half to make a little smile. And they like to do pizza with pepperoni, and then they like to do usually one that's just cheese. So, and it's fairly easy. They arrange it all on the tray, and then I do the oven part. So I turn the oven on to 350, and then the cheese is melted usually in 8 minutes, and that's all that you need.
That sounds wonderful. Now, could I put vegetables on? Because I have I might have a child that doesn't like the taste of the pepperoni, especially the spicy ones.
Yes, exactly, for sure. So you can use any other kinds of toppings, like cutting up some green peppers. I know my boys are really good at helping to cut up vegetables. They just use a little plastic knife, actually, just that will work. So just for safety. Mm-hmm. So that's something that they can do as well, that kids can help out with. But yeah, there's any number of toppings you could do. Mushrooms, or sometimes we do pineapple with the pepperoni. Yep. Yeah, so lots of different veggies you can put on as well.
So that way you could have the other people in your group decide what they want and then prep that before they make their pizzas. You don't need you're not making a whole lot of things go on top of the pizza. Otherwise, it would be hard to eat, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And I was just thinking about, too, when I did it with my class, there are kids that don't like the pizza sauce, actually. So there were kids that did just the cheese and pepperoni, no sauce. Or, you know, so there's any sort of variation of the combination of the ingredients that you have, but you'll know your kids and they can have that input as to what goes on it. And that's part of the fun. And I think it helps them to eat because they're excited about something that they've made.
Yeah, that sounds great. So those are mini pizzas. And, I guess what if you had a campfire, then could you put them on a griddle and a lid over it or something like that?
You don't even need a lid, I don't think. We were at a campsite recently and the fire pits had a grate. So we just used a cookie sheet, and then you can put some tin foil over.
Okay. So that's a good method. And then if there's a barbecue, like a gas barbecue or something like that around wherever you are, then you actually could use that as well then. Yeah, so how do you know? You said 8 minutes in your oven at 350. How do you know if you're, say, out in a barbecue or a campsite?
You just want to keep an eye out on the cheese. So once the cheese starts melting, then you know that you're ready to go. And you can also, if you have tongs or something, you just want to keep an eye on the bottom of the English muffin so that it doesn't get burned.
Oh, okay. Good. Great advice for folks. And that's a lot of fun. And I love the way that you are talking about including children of all ages in everybody of all age, right? You know, I'm sure you do that with your friends who go with you. Oh yeah. What kind of pizza do you want? Yeah. Here's all this stuff. Go to it.
Right. Yep.
That's great. And what's the last thing that I did with Brody? So what's the last thing you'd like to share with people who are waiting for their pizza to cook? What do you do?
So now the friendship bite that Brody had prepared, those are starting to harden up now. So, but I might pop them in the refrigerator just for a couple of minutes to quicken that process. And we'll be able to enjoy those.
Oh, that's great. So you have pizza and then we'll call it dessert, but it's the friendship bites. Yeah.
Well, another name for them is energy bites too, because it's got all those ingredients that are going to give you a little bit of energy, especially if you're going out on a hiking trail or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And I like the way Brody mentioned that to take it with him on his hike, so he can take it in a Tupperware. You can put it in and it won't get, you know, crushed. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, great ideas. Well, that's fabulous. And now we're all set to go and eat.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, Lindsay. I appreciate this. Have a great summer. And going back to school, I can't wait to hear what you have to say later in September about, you know, going out in the woods with the new batch of kids that you get.
That's right. The leaves will be changing soon. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Shinna da kitty la kitty lo kitty lo a hey and a yo wo a hey and a yo wo shinna da kitty la kitty lo a hey and a yo wo a hey and a yo wo shinna da gay shinna da sweet shinna da aska say and a young shinna da gay shinna da sweet shinna da aska say and a young shinna da kitty la kitty lo a hey and a yo wo a hey and a yo wo shinna da kitty la kitty lo a hey and a yo wo a hey and a yo wo kat poka